All right, welcome to Against All Odds, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal here with heel producer Jim Cunningham and my wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds, the degenerate trifecta, Harry, brother Brian, Darren, the parlay kid. What is happening, fellas?
What's going on, Sal?
Hey, Sal.
What's going on, buddy?
You know, I use these terms loosely for years now. My wizards of wagering, my barons of betting, my overlords of the odds. But for God's sakes, you guys, and we're coming to you the day after the draft, the first round of the draft, 3 for 3 yesterday on extrapoints.com and 14 out of 15 over the last, I guess, 5 days. My God. And Harry, no one wants to brag about this more than you. So I'll let you have the floor.
You can well, look, we've all been on fire. Brian's had a nice run too, and I'm 9-2 actually in my last 11, with the last two winners being a +135. And last night, my two team natural disaster parlay with the Hurricanes and Lightning, can't beat it.
Wow, unbelievable! And yet, Brian, you would trade this winning streak for a reasonable Raiders pick any day. They did it again to you. The draft, I imagine, Brian. Ryan should be a big, big Raiders fan for many, many years now. But I imagine if you need your house destroyed, if you need demolition done, just plan it. Just hire Brian right around when the Raiders pick every year, and he'll get it done for you because they did it to you again. They drafted a guy who was 40% chance to go 47th in the draft.
Crazy. I mean, it's not fun anymore. Like I was just saying, you know, draft is one of my favorite days of the year, but it really isn't fun as a Raider fan. It's just, I'm disgusted by this team. It's not even funny. I don't know how many times I have to send out like, what the fuck are you doing? Like fire John, fire Mayock. I'm just sick of this. Like, you know, and again, I knew exactly what they were doing, right? It was a no-brainer they would botch this pick. You know, they take Leatherwood slotted somewhere between 45th and 60th. We take him at 17th. You know, but yeah,
it's unbelievable.
This is my biggest problem though. And like, you know, people would be like, well, that's who they wanted. But this is my problem. And this is where I question how smart people are. Like, all right. Yeah. Is Leatherwood going to be like a decent pro? Yeah. He's probably going to be a good guard for sure. That's fine. If you love him, if that's the guy you really want, that's fine.
Trade down.
But just please trade down. Yeah. So nobody wanted the 17th pick. Right. Not one team wanted the 17th pick. We could have gotten at least an extra second rounder or a third rounder.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know, it reminds me of Harry when he drafts in our fantasy. Right? He's like, he'll take like Valdez Scantling in the second round. And it's like, oh, what are you doing? Like, I'm telling you, he's going to be good. It's like, who cares? You could have traded down or gotten him in the eighth round. Like, it doesn't matter if you think he's good. Like, there's two parts of this equation, right?
Harry, don't even defend it. You know, that's exactly usually, right. That's a typical Harry move.
Did I make the playoffs last year?
Who the hell remembers? I don't know.
Yeah, I think I did.
I know you lost the semifinal game without even thinking about it. I know you lost.
I don't think you
– Brian, do you think Mayock at this point now just does it to – try to pull off a miracle pick and then everyone can say what a great GM he is?
No, I mean, I honestly think Mayock has no say. I think Gruden's just like, this is my guy. But I can tell you, day two, I know what they're going to do next. There's going to be, I'm going to text you guys. There's going to be 3 or 4 really good guys at the spot they have in the second round. They're going to trade down, right? There's going to be guys that going to trade down for like an extra fifth round pick.
All right.
And then later in the draft, we'll draft a guy from Clemson who won't even be rated, and we'll take him in like the fourth or fifth round. It's every year.
Listen, I don't want to detract from the fact 14 out of 15 with you guys. I think we did a nice job on our draft preview podcast on Tuesday. In fact, Joel Solomon sent us a nice note. What did you say, Joel? Joel said, babyface Joel Solomon said, I've listened to a lot of draft coverage and you guys were the best. And I don't know if you meant it or not, but Jim Cunningham, take note there. We'd like more notes like that out of you, if it's possible. Okay.
Can we get one out of Jim? Can we get one? Well,
I don't think so. I don't know.
You will when you deserve it.
All right. Well, I look forward to that. You got to do better than 14 out of 15, guys. I don't know what to tell you. Hey, we have Kenny Mayne coming on at the bottom of the hour. the bottom of the hour. Really, I have no idea when you guys are listening to this. If you started listening to this at 10 after the hour, it wouldn't really be the bottom of the hour. But anyway, Kenny Mayne, greatest on the Mount Rushmore of ESPN broadcasters. He will join us. What else do I want to say? We're going to talk about the draft. We're going to recap it. We're going to recap the gambling implications. And then we're going to talk about day 2, 3, and 4, because there's still a lot left. And FanDuel has a million good props up. I mean, this is Friday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific. They had a ton up and what team is going to take who next and over under for these quarterback positions. Lots of stuff. I do want to mention our prop swap contest. You add up Kyle Trask and Kellen Mond's draft positions. You put that number in the replies at Extra Points Pod or at Prop Swap. You have to be following both accounts, and you'll get, if you hit it exactly, you get a $300 futures bet on the Kansas City Chiefs to win the Super Bowl futures ticket. That's pretty good. Might not be as good, though, if Aaron Rodgers goes to Denver, which is the rumor. There's odds up there that he's minus 150 to go to Denver if they trade him at all. My God, I don't know what happened. Now, so now the Broncos are down to 17-1 before the trade is even made. I think they were about 50 or 60-1, but now they're 17-1. They're fourth in the AFC, and they still have that bum at quarterback. Like, they don't have Aaron Rodgers anymore. Hmm. Parley Kid, what do you think's going on here?
I find it interesting, the whole thing with Rodgers here, that he has Denver on his list. I guess they're in a group of teams that he wouldn't mind going to.
Right.
I'm surprised Denver makes that list. I don't really know why they would make that list, especially
girlfriend,
now you're going to go.
Girlfriend's from Colorado. Not sure how much that has to do with it. But
okay, I mean, yeah. Well, that could sit. But, you know, you're going to, you know, Mahomes.
Yeah.
You're going to a division that's got some good quarterbacks. I mean, the Raiders, you might as well pencil them in for fourth place.
There you go.
Next
Brian.
8 years, if Rodgers goes there,
yeah,
just, you know, Raider, why even play football in Vegas for a couple of years? Just
what do you think of this, Brian? I don't know. And part of it might be what I thought of immediately is like, why is he leaving the Packers? Why, he was one play away from making it to the Super Bowl, right? And he's the MVP, but maybe he's like, screw this, I'm the MVP. I'll be the MVP anywhere. I just don't know why. He would leave, unless it's really bad in the front office, or maybe more likely, he doesn't even want to play football. I bet if he knew he got this Jeopardy gig, he would maybe sit out a year.
Oh, well, my gosh.
Yeah, well, that's the thing, right? It's there's something about Aaron Rodgers when he plays football, right? Like, sometimes it just doesn't look like he's having fun, right? It's mm-hmm. just like, it's almost like it's his job. He knows he's great at it, but like, you feel like 75% of the time, although he's amazing, it just doesn't seem like he's maybe necessarily enjoying it as much.
He literally
does, like,
walks
Jeopardy.
To the line of scrimmage with his hands in the cooling thing there. It does look kind of bored. Yeah.
So, but I mean, this makes sense. This makes total sense for Denver. I mean, Elway has failed in every possible way since Manning left them. But look, and the reason why I would say, well, there's a reason I'd say yes and a reason I guess I'd say no. But like, last night, you have a chance to take Fields or Jones, right? They're there.
Yeah.
You pass up on them. So you're really staying with Locke at this point in time. So like, that just made me think, all right, well, maybe this Rodgers thing is definitely happening. But then if it was going to happen, don't you try to make it happen last night? Because now, like Sertan, who they took, I would assume they took them because they wanted him. I don't think Green Bay would want Sertan.
They did take a D-back, right? They spited him again, Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, so. Exactly. They spited him again. So I don't know. That draft was weird because now if you're trading for Rodgers, are you now trading three future first-round picks like starting next year? Like, so that's where it gets tough to say, but I think they should do it. I mean, they had a chance for Fields. You had a chance for Jones. So now you're kind of screwed.
Right.
Don't you get the impression? I wonder how much Sean McVay would like a do-over on the Stafford trade, knowing that maybe Rodgers would have been available, right?
Oh, like, sure. Yeah.
Rodgers probably would have said yes to L.A., right? Probably would have loved going there. So I wonder if that could have played a factor, if the Rams had waited. I mean, Stafford's going to help them out. But
on the other hand, the haul is just magnificent. I mean, three ones, like, I don't know that a lot of teams would be willing to give up three ones. I know what. How old is he? 37. It's two sides, right? He's MVP. Looks like he could play to 43 at least, like Brady, but still 37. You're giving up three ones. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know how many teams would be into this.
Would Bri do it as a Raiders fan? Would you do that, Bri?
I mean, you're guaranteed three solid years at least.
Probably. No. No. I don't know. I don't think we're not.
Bri, think about what your ones are. The Raiders' three ones are different from everyone else.
Right. So I thought about that last night. I will say, our first round picks are so bad, it really probably doesn't matter.
Yeah.
So, maybe it would make sense. I mean, but again, it would have only made sense, like, if you traded Carr, because there was rumors they could have got a first rounder for Carr.
Months ago. What kind of car? What are you talking about?
A Honda Accord.
Yeah, Bri, you know how it works out, because even if they did that and they got Rodgers, Raiders are still losing 41-38 every week.
Well, there is a problem, you know, in that division with the Chiefs. I mean, you're probably regardless gonna finish in second. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess that's Denver's thinking is, look, we're gonna be at the bottom of the division for the next 15 years. If we get Rodgers, we have a chance for second, maybe first for three. So maybe it's worth it. The Raiders, he's going where
it's Herbert and Mahomes. He's in a division. If he chooses to go to Denver with a division with Herbert and Mahomes, and by the way, Kirk Cousins, I think, is the best quarterback in the NFC North if he leaves. So it's, I don't know. It's so weird how it happens. But let's get to the draft itself. Trevor Lawrence, no surprise, goes to the Jaguars. Some FanDuel better bet $30,000 to win $60. I love it. Go get it. Go get your $60. It's free money that Lawrence would go first. No surprise. Zach Wilson second. That's no surprise. But Trey Lance goes third. The Parlay Kid and I have been calling it for a month. And I don't know what kind of victory lap we could take here, because we're just saying that it's going to happen, but there's no reasoning behind it, because Trey Lance didn't know about it until a couple minutes before the pick. Kyle Shanahan, it seems, didn't know about it. I mean, it's ridiculous that he wasn't involved in the personnel decisions, but that's how it's coming down. So Trey Lance over Mac Jones, who then ends up dropping. By the way, Dave Damashek leads our futures draft right now because he had Trey Lance going third a long time ago. You could check that out at extrapoints.com/draft, have all the results of our futures draft. But Paulie Kid, Trey Lance, I'm excited it happened. Now I'm like scratching my head. I'm like, I don't know why they took Trey Lance at three.
Right. Well, especially because, they gave up a lot to move up to three, and where they probably could have stayed where they were and took the quarterback that Shanahan wanted the whole time, probably, right? That their coach wanted, which seems to have been Mac Jones. So obviously there's going to be some friction there, most likely, if what we're hearing is true, that Shanahan was a Jones guy and the rest of the organization was a Lance guy. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to be good for that working relationship, especially as Brother Brian's saying it too. I mean, the 49ers have talent. So, is Shanahan going to be stubborn and say, hey, Garoppolo's my guy. This guy Lance, he's gonna be sitting for a couple years while we have a window to win here. I really wonder what's going to happen. It's going to be very interesting in San Fran over the next year or so.
Garoppolo minus 200 to take the first snap of the 49ers for week one there. And I think that makes sense. He'll learn at the knee of Jimmy G, and I'm not against it. People look going crazy about this. Like, oh, you draft a guy hot, you have to start him right away. Well, only a couple of years ago that Patrick Mahomes, widely regarded as the greatest of our generation, didn't start the first 16 games that Chiefs is rookie year there. He jumped
and
in
Lance is only 20.
Lance is 20 years old, so there's no rush there. Yeah, right. What is Mac Jones? He's going to be 23? Or something in the fall, I think, or something like that. Whatever. It doesn't matter. But the big point is here, Mac Jones falls to the Patriots. They don't even have to trade up. I don't expect that they expected that to get him. And for God's sakes, Harry, he's a Patriot. And immediately I thought, oh boy, he's going to be great. This sucks.
Yeah, I mean, it does kind of suck. I agree with you, Sal. But look, I mean, I give Mac Jones a little bit of credit too. When they kept going to the camera on him, didn't seem worried, didn't seem like it was this is good. Look, where's my stock going here? He was cool as a cucumber. He was fine. He got drafted. He was very happy. He was, and he admitted that he really wanted to go to the Patriots, so it worked out for him.
You know what, Harry? It's not where you're drafted. It's what you do with the opportunity. I think that's what you're supposed to say. That's the Oscar equivalent of it's just an honor to be nominated. You wouldn't have to win. But so Paulie Kidd and I had him. Oh, we had Mac Jones over 3.5, which paid 2-1 odds. But those odds were crazy yesterday for that third pick. I don't know what leaked out, if Kyle Shanahan himself didn't know the pick, but I think as of yesterday morning, like Lance was plus 170 to go third, and then he was jumped all the way up to minus 200 to go third. Mm. So, boy, the betting makes it fun, though, doesn't it? We didn't have this years ago, brother.
Oh, it's so betting great.
So great. Yeah,
you get 1,000-to-1 odds on your Raiders picks for the first round if they had it, but they can't even really compute it. It would be too long.
I will
long
say, look, I won some money last night betting. But I also did lose a decent amount because I had the Raiders drafting a defensive player. So
you can't. You just have to stay away.
I just can't. You can't. But I will say it's fantastic for tonight. It's awesome. I mean, the fact that you can still, you know, you have just as many bets kind of tonight than you have in round one really makes it exciting. I mean, I like every round anywhere. It doesn't matter.
It's so good. I wonder if they're going to have the Barca Lounger out there. They put a super fan on the Barca Lounger, double vax. They made sure to say it 7,000 times during the telecast. The fan, whoever's having it on there, is double vaxxed. There was some vax. There was some interesting characters on there. And it was it always seemed to be an uncomfortable exchange when Roger Goodell walked by. It was like he was a meter maid and he was like, hey, you got 8 seconds to get up. I feel like that was the only thing. What the hell was he saying to everyone? Had a confused look on their face.
They didn't know whether to sit. They didn't know whether to stand.
He's
He's not shaking their hands, really.
It's like, oh, am I coming with you? What's going on here? Do I get to stay?
You know what was weird about it? So, like, what he was doing is he was showing the pick. He was turning the card to them.
Oh.
When they did it to the Raider person, the Raider guy had no expression. I swear to God. Like, there was just, he shows him the pick. The guy obviously didn't even know who he was.
Yeah.
So
I don't know. It was very weird. And then he sat in the chair. Goodell did for the.
It's very creepy.
And he got jabbed with a syringe. Like, I don't know. There was a lot going on in that Barca Lounge. I hope they bring it back tonight. But I have a bed ache with this Devontae. It's interesting the way the Cowboys could screw us, right, Parlay Kid? And they ultimately screwed over the Giants, but by trading out of the 10th spot and getting that pick to Philly, they moved down to 12, allowed Philly to take Devontae Smith, who I had over 11.5. I had a lot of money on Devontae Smith over 11.5. I was really, oh my God, the weight, he's small and everything else. And if Philly doesn't take him, I win that goddamn bet. What did you think of that trade overall? What do you think of trading with the Eagles? I got nervous until I realized, oh, we're screwing over the Giants?
Right.
Okay, that's fine. Right. We'll do that.
Yeah, that's right. That was the first thing I think I texted in the exchange was, look, Dallas wasn't picking Smith there, right? So to pick up a third round pick, I know, you know, you're doing business with the Eagles, but if you stay where you are, you're probably picking Micah Parsons anyway right there.
Right.
The way it turns out, the way what I'm hearing is it would probably go in Parsons. And then the Giants grab Smith. And I think the Giants are a little bit more dangerous right now than the Eagles are. So I'm willing to give up Smith, who could turn into basically DeSean Jackson for the Eagles. I hate to say that because I've never been a DeSean Jackson guy. But he could turn into that.
Yeah.
And I think by picking up a third round pick, you screw the Giants. I think it was a good move for the Cowboys. Would I have liked, you know, would it have been better if we could have made a deal with another team and had them move up and Eagles aren't there either? I would have been fine with that as well. But all things considered, I was happy. Mikey Meatball Sal was not happy with my kids were furious with the Cowboys
fans.
They were furious with the Parsons pick, though. Not so much the trade, but furious with the
pick.
Did
you want? Did they want Slater or like? I felt
Slater.
Like it was
Slater.
Parsons or more, Slater was.
Well, I think.
Pick.
Well, what got screwed up is Horn and Sertan went back to back.
Right.
I think we figured we were getting one of those two. Right. And then when we
100%. I think Denver picking
Parsons
Sertan
is our guy.
Yeah, I hope. I hope Devontae Smith lights up the Cowboys for years to come. Put it that way.
Okay. I mean,
but
it was
light
fun.
You guys up because you screwed the Giants big time.
Well, it's
for nothing, basically.
Although,
if we weren't taking the
you were getting then? Parsons anyways,
right?
You were getting Sertan at 10. Sertan went 9.
Right.
So now you're screwed. So at ten, you trade with the Eagles.
So Sal,
where you going to get Parsons at 10?
So you just take
Parsons at 10 and not get the third round pick.
Let it roll.
What? That's so.
This is what I mean. He doesn't understand. He doesn't understand.
Don't give the opportunity to screw yourselves for years.
Harry worked for the Raiders,
who had 1,900 yards last year and 17 touchdowns.
Harry, if you could get Parsons or Parsons and a large pepperoni pizza, what would you take?
Guess what? Dallas basically in the trade got a large pepperoni pizza.
No, they didn't. They were going to take the guy they had to
take. They were
going to
take Parsons because they didn't have a cornerback anymore.
Right. So why not get more and your pick? Do you really understand? This is really hard for you.
Harry, but the Giants fan.
You just didn't want the Giants to get him. That's all.
You're the only Giant fan I know that's not happy right now. All my other friends are happy.
I didn't say I wasn't happy.
By that trade happening, you ended up getting another first round pick.
And I'm very happy about the trade because I think Chicago really screwed up more than any team except maybe the Raiders, but still the Giants wanted Devontae Smith and the Cowboys blocked him just because the Cowboys probably are more afraid this year coming up of the Giants than they are definitely the Eagles.
Well, they want value, and like you said, they were probably going to take Parsons anyway, so they got Parsons and then some. So the interesting thing is the Eagles put the screws to the Giants again by doing that whole thing with Hurts in week 17, taking them out of the game. They cost the Giants a playoff spot.
Huge.
And now they're doing it again. But there's a weird wide receiver carousel thing going on here, Paulie. Can you remember last year we took C.D. Lamb, kind of forcing the Eagles to take Rager, right? I'm not even sure that they were going to take him if the Cowboys didn't
and
take
they all,
C.D.
Don't
Lamb.
Don't forget, they also passed on Justin Jefferson at that spot, too.
Yeah, a lot of teams did, sure. The best wide receivers, you could put a number on them. It doesn't matter. It is like playing roulette with them. But it is interesting, this wide receiver tornado we've gotten into in the NFC East with all these guys. And Harry, you got your guy. You wanted a wide receiver. You cried about it on Tuesday. But I should mention, out of all the odds, I haven't seen one bigger than this, 60-1 odds that the Giants would draft Tony, right? So, Harry, what do you think of the Tony pick? You got to be pleased with that.
I like it. I like it. I mean, Tony had a nice season last year, really good season for Florida last year. Played big in big games. The SEC Championship game, he had a huge game. He had 10 touchdowns. I wanted the Giants to go offense. That's what they did. They went out and got a receiver. Now, New York has a lot of weapons now. Tony, Galladay, Shepard, and Slayton still. Saquon is back. You mentioned that before in the last night, Sal. Ingram and Kyle Rudolph they got in the offseason. A lot of weapons on offense for Daniel Jones. Now they can get it rolling with the Giants. The offensive line, still maybe that's what they need to do, second pick. But I love how Tony is going to be a valuable, integral part to this. He can also, to this offense, he can also return punts. I wanted Devontae Smith. And again, you know, I said that last show too. Didn't get him because of the stupid trade that Dallas made with Philly. But still, Tony at 60-1. Yeah, of course, the only reason why he was 60-1, he went for the Giants because of the trade with Chicago. But still, a decent guy. And a lot of mocks had Tony going 20th or even earlier. So I'm pretty happy with that. It's still fine.
All right. And why is that a stupid trade for Chicago? Like, here's what I think with the draft. Well, let me just say one thing.
I don't think
you could say the only reason you could be mad, really mad, like throwing shit against the wall. Oh, Harry's coughing again. The only reason you could really be mad is if you root for like the Raiders and like, oh my God, right? Okay, they reached 40 picks for this guy, and no one that I could see getting mad at. Otherwise, you really don't know which of the quarterbacks is going to work out, which of the wide receivers is going to work out. And so, what about Justin Fields? Did you see that you don't like? Why don't you think that was a good trade for the Bears?
Well, first, I cleared my throat. I didn't cough.
Okay.
Second. I think the Bears basically mortgaged their future to get Fields in a trade with the Giants. They bailed the Giants out with this trade happening between Dallas and Philly, and now the Giants aren't taking Devontae Smith anymore, and they can't get him. They were in no man's land anyways, the Giants. They didn't know what to do, so all of a sudden, this trade comes around. They get Chicago's first round pick in 2022. They get a fourth rounder in 22 and a fifth rounder this year. And the Giants still wind up with very possibly the next best wide receiver in the draft. And the Bears give up all this. And
no,
who knows if Fields even going to be that good.
Wait a second. How? They didn't mortgage their whole future. That's not, you didn't give up a ton.
They mortgaged
right there.
Next year's number one. The guy who went fourth in the draft quarterback wise.
But what do you know? Why should he be fourth? Maybe remember when he beat Trevor Lawrence in the semifinals and everyone's right. Like, oh, maybe Justin.
Yeah, I also remember right. when he threw three picks against Indiana and how he couldn't pass the ball at all against Northwestern in the Big Ten championship game.
It was hurt.
Yeah, he had rib injuries.
He wasn't hurt in the Big Ten championship game against Northwestern.
Harry's fired up. But honestly, the 70% completion rate for Justin Fields.
You gave up a ton there to get
one of the top in the Big Six conferences. Like, I don't understand.
Well, how about this? Why'd you trade with a Giant? Why'd the Bears trade with a Giant?
Well, they were afraid someone would trade up. So maybe they made a mistake there that no one was going to trade up to get Fields. But otherwise, I think it's a good risk. Got to get these fans happy. They're
Bears
fucking best quarterback in the last 50 years.
Could have traded with the Chargers at 13. They've got Herbert. Jets at 14. Already took Wilson. Could have traded there.
Did you weigh in on what Scott? What did Scott say? He's a Bears fan.
Your brother Scott is a gigantic in all
he
sense
like,
of the word.
He
Bears
likes Fields,
fan.
But he doesn't know jack shit.
All right. I mean, if the Patriots trade up
this morning,
if the Patriots trade up there to get Justin Fields, if they trade up the Pats to get Fields, it's a genius move, right? But if the Bears did it, and you have trouble with it.
I think all the quarterbacks are going to stink in the first round. I think they're all going to stink.
Well, that's probably not going to happen.
Mark that down.
I don't know. I don't
mark that one down,
happen.
Jim Cunningham.
Please mark that down.
Yeah, mark
it. Now we're going to have to listen to like what Harry did to Darnold for all these years, for these four quarterbacks, trashing them every week
guess
now.
What? By the way,
for
guess
the next
what?
Several years.
McCaffrey, you can go under yards this year, and you can go Panthers under wins. That is two locks.
Well, that was that draft, the horn pick for them was weird.
Parlay kid, we like Parsons. Well, I mean, we kind of had it. He's a talker. He seems fun. He's already going at it with Zeke Elliott on Twitter. Seems hard-nosed player.
I hope that's what he is. I hope.
Yeah. You never know.
Is he a winning player? Is he an intangibles guy? Like, I don't know. Obviously, as Brother Bri alluded to on Tuesday, you know, you go back to this year, this time last year after the draft, and they were talking about like next year's draft. Parsons was easily top five in most mocks, right? And I look at not playing this year as a bonus because that's 1 year less wear and tear on his body, right? For a linebacker, especially what we've seen, what it's done to the Cowboys linebackers over the years, Sal, with Van Der Esch and Lee. And the injuries. So I don't think that really hurts them. I think it's a good pick, picking up a third round pick too. And we know, it was an area of need because I hate Jalen Smith. Maybe he'll be better with Dan Quinn. Van Der Esch is always hurt. You're going to get like 8 games out of him. And your other linebacker is Keanu Neal, who was a safety with the Falcons last year. So I think Parsons runs a 4.39 40 at his size. He's a freak. It's worth, you might have gotten the best player in the draft. You might have.
All right. That's fun. Again, we're not making any predictions here, but, if the Raiders drafted him, you would have been fine, Bri, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, you know, some mocks had him falling to 17, which I was ecstatic about, but yeah. I knew even if he was there, we wouldn't have taken him. Doesn't matter.
That's true. If he was there in the third round, the Raiders might have taken him. I want to go over these real quick. We have Kenny Mayne coming on. Some of these props by schools and by positions. Alabama over 5.5 players drafted in the first round. Easy. I got that one by the 24th pick. My God, what 20% of the draft is Alabama players. Maybe more.
But was that easy?
Well, the Raiders helped that out.
The Raiders helped, but it was easy in that you had a quarter of the draft to spare and you won it, right?
Yeah, right, I got it.
Quarter of the round. But that's it. But kudos to them. Quarterbacks went under. Good pick, Harry. Under 5.5. for quarterbacks.
More winners. More winners.
Oh my God. That was a minus 650 Harry threw at you.
750.
750? Okay.
Hey, listen, the last three or four draft picks in the first round were questionable by every team. So who knows? Trask could have went there.
Well, I get nervous. We're going to get to it in a second. Wide receivers over 4.5 wins. Running backs under. Parlay Kid, you had that as a winner.
Oh.
I had under 1.5. Bry, you had under 1.5.
No, I had ATN to go in the second round.
Oh, ATN. So well, I had that too. I had that. Yeah. I had under 1.5. I had ATN over 32.5. Well, here's why it's a bad pick, because I'm like, oh, ATN, he's going to be a gadget running back. And Urban Meyer comes out today and says, yeah, he's our third round. He's our third down running back. He's going to be our third. Yeah. It's like, all right, so now we're going first round picks. I know the Jags had two picks. Whenever a team has two picks, I mean, they're likely to reach for a running back. We know the Steelers. We're going to take Najee Harris anyway, but for God's sakes.
I don't get it. Robinson had a great year for the Jags last year.
Yeah.
This is like, hey, let's draft, Lawrence, his friend. Mm-hmm. Even though they could have waited to the second round to probably get him at that point. No sense. And so, you know how I feel. I think the Steelers, and I know Joel will disagree with this. I don't even get picking a running back where they picked him right there. Running backs in the first round to me do not make sense anymore. Pittsburgh, I think there's a lot of holes there. So I don't know if running back is going to solve your holes.
Darren, let's look back. Just curious. With the Cowboys taking Elliott number 4 and what you've seen over the past couple of years, are you happy with that now or are you not really happy?
No,
with
it's same with you and Barkley. There's no way that you wouldn't have taken Barkley where you took him as a Giants fan now.
Yeah.
And, you look at the Cowboys and you say, well, I mean, look, it's again, we could say this about every draft, but the Cowboys could have easily said, well, we could have drafted Jalen Ramsey with that 4th pick and still got Derrick Henry in the second round that year.
Right. Yeah, you don't know.
You could say that. That's a pipe dream.
You don't want to say don't ever take a running back in the first round because Jonathan Taylor went 5 picks into the second round. So there's not a huge difference when you're talking about 29th and 36th and all that stuff. But my God, Brian, I lose on this prop every single year. I think teams are going to learn. I could see why the Steelers maybe did it. Like, McFarlane, like a 5th round last year, Joel? Is it 3rd or 5th? I can't even remember what McFarlane was, but you're happy with the Harris pick, aren't you? Joel, you wanted to talk about this all morning. No,
I didn't know if Harry was going to go first. But
I would say Harry if I wanted
Harry. I disagree with Parlay Kid. I think the drop-off of running backs is pretty substantial, and the Steelers usually draft sometimes regardless of position, the best available player who they had ranked highest. And a lot of people were saying the offensive line is the problem, but they'll get to it. There's offensive line there. But with James Conner, you saw in the last couple of years, there's no breakaway speed there. And it's not the offensive line's fault where after he breaks the hole, 3 yards later, he's getting taken down from behind. So Ben can't throw the ball 50 times a game anymore. You need a workhorse back that's there, the first three downs. And this was the guy to take.
Some running backs do well in spite of their bad offensive line. But it's interesting, Joel, you and Harry, obvious offensive line holes there. Big Ben can't stand upright. And Danny Dimes took the second most hits out of anyone in the last 2 years. And yeah, you're happy with your position player picks there. I don't know.
I think Harris is going to be legendary. Legendary, Joel.
Oh.
He's going to put up huge numbers. I mean, at 230, he breaks tackles. All at third most broken tackles in the last 5 years in college football. He's
I just think a running back in the first round is a win now move. Like we're going for the Super Bowl type of move. We just need that one piece.
Pittsburgh
is in that situation right now. I just don't. I don't think
you're right, Darren.
And then Ben will be gone, and you'll be breaking in a rookie quarterback.
That's true.
And then what does Harris mean to them? He's not going to mean much to them.
It's a great call. They have a running back now that they'll have in his first 3 years a bell house back that they can give the ball to the game. And they did. They tried to wait on running backs with Anthony McFarlane or Benny Snell, and it didn't work out. So
right.
I'm good with this pick. And, you know, yes, to Harry's point, I wish they would have thrown in a pizza, but we didn't get it.
I want to get, no, Harry doesn't, for some reason, understand the whole pizza now. I really want to go quickly here because Kenny Mayne is waiting for us. SEC over 11.5 wins easily, but Parlay Kid had under 12.5, so the books got middled on that one.
Ooh.
Interesting the way that happened. We're going to read through these real quick. Pac-12 over 2.5 wins on the last pick, Harry, right? It was a... It was D-back out of Washington, right?
Yeah, that was it. I mean, everything
was a linebacker? It was edge rusher out of Washington.
Edge rusher.
Right?
Everyone had, you know, obviously Sewell and Tucker to go. That was the only two that Pac-12 was even looking at. And then, the last pick went to Washington and screwed everybody.
Big Ten had over 7.5. They had 7. That loses. All right. So now that that's over, big over under losses by conference and the really, really weird stuff, how close they are, FanDuel, all over it and all over the action tonight, Friday. It's not over, guys. They have just about every team. They have every team's next pick. You could bet what position your team's going to pick. Parlay Kid, Cowboys, the cornerback we didn't get in the first round.
Yeah.
We're favored to take one in the second round at minus 160.
Yeah. I think. You know, that obviously that's an overwhelming favorite here, Sal. Mm-hmm. But I'm looking for a little bit more value. So I would look at two directions here. Defensive lineman. Mm-hmm. It could be an interior lineman. It could be a defensive end as well. Plus, I think it's 190 if it's still there.
Plus 210, I'm seeing, yep.
Went up, so it's gone up even. And I also think... there's a chance the safety from TCU, Mooring.
Yeah.
It's plus 470 for them to take a safety, and the kid from Oregon too, Holland as well, I think could be available. I think plus 470, if it's still 470, I think that's great value.
Yeah.
So instead of going defensive back, they might go safety there as well. So I like either D lineman at plus 210 or safety at plus 470. I think that's the best value for the Cowboys here.
That was one of my few wins. I had no safeties drafted, which was plus money, right? And then at Mooring, nobody went, right? There were no safeties in the
That's
first
correct.
Round. So, but a bunch in the second round. Yeah, safety is a concern or a priority, I should say, for a lot of these teams as I'm looking at it now. Parlay Kid, did you have anything else for that jumped out at you for Friday and through the weekend for these
draft props? There's one exact order in terms of it's not necessarily – of the next quarterback, next running back, next receiver. I kind of like the combination of Trask, Williams, and Elijah Moore. I think it's up to plus 470 now as well.
It is.
On FanDuel. I know people are maybe that Stanford kid is the next
David Mills is. I think there's only supposed to be one quarterback in this second round if you look at player over unders, right? Mills is over 60.5, and everybody else, Mond is 74.5, and Trask, although it's not up, is somewhere in between there because we know he's favored.
Yeah, I kind of think people might feel a little bit more safer if anybody's taking a QB with Trask. I mean, he had such an unbelievable year compared to Mills, who really didn't have any type of year. And again, I know we can't always go by that, but I think it's worth the roll of dice to go Trask, next quarterback, Williams, next running back, and Elijah Moore, next receiver, plus 470. Pretty good value, especially because I think Moore and Williams are definitely happening at positions.
Good job. Brother Bri, the receivers are fun to go by, right? Because there's data on receivers and, it's a lot of fun to be wrong about this particular prop. And there are odds for next receiver taken. Who do you like?
Yeah, so I do like, I was looking at Terrace Marshall being 5-1. It's funny, this morning Elijah Moore was minus 120. Now he's minus 280. So that's changed a little bit. But we know, again, with the receivers, kind of anything could happen. It really just depends what your preference is. But Terrace Marshall at 5-1, he's a physical freak, 6'3", runs a 4.3. Great deep threat. He was like really the only highlight on the LSU team last year with 10 touchdowns in 7 games. I guess there's some concern with his injury history, but you kind of seen in a lot of, mocks leading up to like Marshall was right in there. I mean, it seems like he's going to probably go within the next somewhere in the next 10, 15 picks. So I think at 5-1, I think it makes sense to take a chance on him. Also, Rondell Moore, too. He's another one. He's plus 850. I would look at him just because he's a guy who everybody assumed like 2 years ago was definitely going to be a first round pick. And he's just, you know, he didn't really play or he's been hurt. So he's another guy that all of a sudden could jump these other guys as well.
All right, Brian, I'm going to recommend something here. It'll make your ease you into the weekend. The Raiders' next pick. Cornerback plus 210, D lineman plus 210, safety plus 250. Boring. Not going to happen. This is the Raiders. Running back 34-1. Get one of the North Carolina guys.
Sal, you just
kicker,
stole what
punter,
I was going to say.
Long snapper 250-1. Put a couple bucks on that.
250-1. Why not with the Raiders?
Oh, I'm sorry. All right. You know, quarterback is 34-1. Just bet those last three. 34-1, running back, 34, and kicker, punter, long snapper, 250.
Oh, my God. Do it.
It's a win.
Yeah, I could, you know, who knows? At some point, they could, you know, they could draft a QB. It's a possibility. I mean, who the fuck
knows? I got one just a little bit here. Just wondering about
other than making fun of Bri, did you have anything jump out at you here?
Favorite is offensive lineman at 250. And then cornerback, linebacker, and wide receiver at plus 340. I think maybe wide receiver. Still a bunch out there. I don't like their lineup right now in the roster, what they have wide receiver-wise. They've got Nelson Aguilar, and they picked up Kendrick Bourne from San Francisco. Don't love that. My guy, N'Keal Harry, hasn't really panned out. And after that, they really don't have anybody else. So maybe a wide receiver at plus 340 for the Patriots to help out Cam a little bit.
So funny. I was texting with our friend Kevin Hench, and he's like, oh boy, this Mac Jones is going to be throwing passes to Aguilar and Bourne and be like, why the fuck aren't these guys wide open? I don't get it. What's going on here? What have I signed up for? They do need a little help at wide receiver. Kevin Hench needs a little help too. His brain's deteriorating. All right. We have Kenny Mayne in the waiting room here, but I want to mention first, oh my God, FanDuel, baseball. You could do it all. Tie game, bottom of the ninth, bases loaded. On FanDuel Sportsbook, you get more than one shot to swing for the fences. FanDuel is letting you place your first bet risk-free. That's right. New users get up to $1,000 back in site credit if your first bet doesn't win. Guys, I told them, I said, listen, FanDuel, guys, this is not a good idea, giving 20-1 odds on Trevor Lawrence to be the first pick. You're giving up a free $100 if someone bets $5. They didn't listen. I was like, I've read a bunch of mock drafts. Some of them have Trevor Lawrence going number one. You don't want to give yourself this much liability. They didn't care. They gave out $100 to a lot of, I don't know the number, but anyone who signed up last night. And now it gets better. Once you have an account, you have access to same game parlay insurance all season long, up to $25 back in site credit each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. Baseball, whatever it is, baseball right now, basketball, you can combine bets for an even bigger win. There's a reason FanDuel Sportsbook is America's number one sportsbook. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds on all different betting markets, unique, fun types like same game parlays I mentioned. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Sign up with promo code Against All Odds to get in on the action. FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code Against All Odds. Let's bring them on. All right, I love this guy. Our guest today, one of the all-time great anchors at ESPN and one of the worst celebrity softball game managers of all time. He batted me last, 16th overall, and I still haven't gotten over it. Kenny Mayne, thank you for joining us.
You know, there was one year where we had Jessica Biel on our team.
Yeah.
And how are you going to miss her, right? And I forgot to put her in the game. Oh. And then Otis, you met Otis, my good friend.
Yeah.
He was kind of like my bench coach, keeping me, you know, like, you know, alert to what he's like, you haven't got to put her in. So we literally bring in for like two pitches. So she got the save. I was worried somebody was going to like crush a screamer right back at the mound there. But thank God we escaped that one. The one I remember is when they walked me to get to Wade Boggs, or rather, they walked Wade Boggs to get to me. And so Wade goes the first. We're down one run.
You're home.
And we're two out, and I meekly fly out to right field, and he like was seriously pissed at me. He's like, you lost the fucking game for us. You lost the game. Like, I wasn't brought here for my
I got to tell you, I get mad at those dumb games too. I remember when you batted me 16th, I'm thinking, if in the unlikely event that everyone goes 1-2-3 for five innings, I don't get an at bat here. This is crazy. Let's take a look at that. Do we have that graphic of who went ahead of me in the 16th? All right, Ricky Henderson. That's debatable, but I guess you have to lead him off. Jerry Rice, Rachel Smith. I don't remember. Did we have Rachel Smith? I don't know.
Do I even remember this game? Was this in like Milwaukee or somewhere?
This was either in Chicago, the White Sox Stadium, or this was in Pittsburgh. I think it was in Pittsburgh.
I think I would
jump Dane Cook right now. That's it. I don't know that I'd jump anybody else. I think you were right to bat me 16th now that I look at it.
You know what's funny? Seeing Ricky Henderson's name, there was one game, I believe it was in San Francisco, where I robbed Jimmy of a home run.
Yes.
Most athletic thing I've ever done in my life.
I was there at the game. I was just going to mention one of the greatest robberies of all time.
It was Griffey level. I mean, I got up at least 4 or 5 inches in the air, but you feel like you made a real major league play because, you know, the fences are like 3.5-4 feet
high. Small.
You were over the fence.
A good play. I'm not bragging, but it happened. And then Ricky Henderson came over to congratulate me, and I didn't see him. He came out of, I was still hogging the glory for what I had done, whipping it back in the whole thing. I basically dissed Ricky Henderson. Didn't mean to. Love that guy. He was fun to be out there with. So
now Ricky would grab a base when he set a record for steals. Did you feel like grabbing a piece of the fence? I mean, I feel like you could have been able to take that home.
We do know Jimmy did hit a homer. I think it was the very next year my head. And he got Vin Scully to come on his show and recreate that whole moment.
He made the call. Oh my God! He's shown that on Jimmy Kimmel Live more than anything else. I mean, maybe Bush getting his shoe thrown at him is more, but that was unbelievable. I got to tell you, I grounded out in that one game where I batted 16th. I grounded out to Matt Williams, who underestimated my speed, and I was so goddamn safe at first. And I was like, am I going to make a big deal out of this? Like, am I going to scream at this ump? It was like, everyone's having fun here. And what is it? Wade Boggs gets mad. I took it very seriously, but I took a deep breath and I walked off the field, even though I was safe.
It was classy. That was classy to do. I had the same incident in New York. I got going toward third. I was on second. They hit a line drive and doubled me up at second, but I was safe. And Chris Rock to this day will tell you I was safe. Just named Chris Rock.
Well, they didn't have replay back then in the celebrity softball.
They should have had the VAR or whatever that. So people just joining this are like, why are they talking about miscellaneous celebrity softball?
We could talk draft. We could do it. But here's why. What is the draft? I mean, I've been there before. You're a Seahawks fan. It sucks when you don't have a pick, right? First round pick.
Just kind of enjoyed the show. I actually checked out at about number 28 and watched Narcos episode 5, season 3 or something. It's kind of funny. I've always been into football. The draft has never done it for me in the same way it does it for other football nerds. Like there are, right, there, like NFL playoffs. I'm full on. I'm watching every game. They all matter. Right. Something about I'm like, all right, it's, you know, I'm excited for the guys. And they're a classy group of kids. I was impressed by, you know, how most of them handled the moment and just kind of like their humility in the moment.
I've thought about this with sports nerds and fans. And fans need to know how to root, right? So if your quarterback throws an interception, you know to be screaming at the television. If your team drafts a middling lineman, you don't know whether to scream. You have to have an opinion, right? Because you're a fan. Right. But why do you go one way? Unless you're a Raiders fan like Brother Bry here, and you know it was a terrible pick. But
yeah. Well, there was definitely like they'd cut to the central casting look of 19 Jets fans together, you know. And they all went, yay, no. You know, they didn't know what to do. They just, I mean, who really knows a lot about interior linemen besides interior line coaches?
But you were, don't sell yourself short here. You were a quarterback, famously, UNLV running Rebels. Were you after Cunningham or you were his backup?
No, that's often misreported. You can Google it. Randall says nice things. I think I get better each year. I'm going to be All America here pretty soon. Now, I was a second string quarterback a couple years at Vegas after going to junior college and, you know, played a little, not a lot. I was the senior when Randall was a freshman. So Sam King, Sam King was the starter. He led the nation in passing yards. I was second to him. Then Alan Reynolds out of Buell, Idaho, and then Randall. And then we all, you know, we all knew he was going to be great. I mean, we'd warm down after practice. And back then, I, you know, could throw a ball 70 odd yards. Randall's ball is still rising. Like he,
really?
He was in the 80s for no joke. He should be in the Hall of Fame. So, yeah, good guy. He turned out to be pretty good at football.
Yeah, he was pretty dominant for a good number of years there ultimate in the NFL. Weapon. Why not? I was thinking about you and what your draft room would look like. I don't know. Now, you got hurt, so it took a little bit of a bad turn there. But the 1981 draft, do you remember who went? What quarterbacks went in the 1981 draft? That's where you would have been drafted.
Well, McMahon was in there, right? Because we beat BYU my senior year. I didn't play, as it turns out. Sam had a crazy game. He had 500 yards or something. We beat him on a last-minute play to Jimmy Sandusky. I can still see it. 45-41 at Provo. And McMahon was hurt that game. And this guy comes in, a freshman named Steve Young. So he was the guy we played against. Mm. Yeah. I remember where I was during the draft. I was calling horse races at a bookie. Like, I had a job briefly where I was a race caller in the old days. This goes way back, where you didn't have this, you walk into the sports book with 25 screens of racing, right?
Right.
They had one, maybe two, and most all the other races were recreated, like in the Sting, right? Like, you'd get the call from, you know, Vinny in Chicago or whatever, and he'd tell you, all right, 1, 5, 8, 7, 1 by a half, 5 by 2, you know, and you'd get this piece of paper and match it up with the names, and you'd fake the race for the listening public who was betting at these various sports books around town.
Nice.
So I was watching the draft or reading about it on the wire.
Well, it didn't seem like you missed much, because if I'm looking at the right one, the 1981 draft, and I watch football as much
It would have been 82.
Oh, 82. Okay. Because you got hurt in 80, right? In October of 80? Okay.
Yeah,
so I don't know why I was looking at the 81 draft, but had you come out early,
no.
Rich Campbell. From Green Bay. Green Bay drafted Rich Campbell, number 6. I don't even remember him.
Did Green Bay draft another punter in the first round? They seem to do things to piss off Aaron every year.
Yeah.
Even a punter or a long snapper. I don't know what they went for this time around. But.
Yeah, they drafted a D-back.
Cornerback.
Well, you know, no, I knew that actually. Yeah. It's a disservice to the poor kids who do get picked when that whole argument is going on, because I'm sure he's a great player. And could turn out to be great. But the story, you know, it's kind of been the same thing for a number of years. I think most people are on Aaron's side on that argument. Like, has the team failed him through the years, or has he failed the team? I think if it's one or the other, you could argue the team could have supplied him. Not that they haven't had some decent talent around him, but.
Well, it's weird. We were discussing it. So, if you're Aaron Rodgers, you're like, I'm the MVP at 37. I could be the MVP anywhere. That's probably how he's thinking. But if you're the Packers, you're like, hey, we were one play away from making it to the Super Bowl. Do you really hate all these guys around you, or do you want to host Jeopardy? Like, what do you think it is with him? Does he really want to leave?
I think he wants to bring back Password. Remember Password? Only had like a 5-6 year run. I watched it religiously as a youth.
That was Betty White's husband. Was it Alan Luntz?
Alan Cullen.
Alan Cullen? Oh, right. He did it. Right. Okay.
I believe that's right. Yeah. And my favorite show was $10,000 Pyramid. I didn't like it when it got up to 25 and 100, not just 10,000. That's a good number. And you had the squares, the triangles rather.
They would miss the top triangle, and then Dick Clark would smugly come in with his hand over his mouth, and he would say three words, and you're like, oh, things you say when you're in an elevator alone. Like, oh, yes, of course. Like, it's so stupid.
but I'd always play along. I think Aaron would be a good host of that show. And God knows, you know, he's a smart guy. Maybe that's something that will invigorate him more than yelling, you know, Green 19 over and over.
Why have you not hosted a prominent game show?
The Who Wants to Be a Millionaire knockoff, second version of it, you know, syndicated version.
Right.
But I was beaten out by Meredith Vieira.
Oh, I see.
That was back. And then I, you know, tried out. We had another show that I did the tryout for. I'm now forgetting the name of it. We did like a demo show.
Right.
Again, that one went away. Then they brought it back with somebody else and it went away. So I've been in that mix once or twice. But
right.
Apparently, people think little of me. Maybe that's the answer.
Do you want to throw some taunting words Meredith's way now that it's all sudden?
She did a fine job. I did a full tryout for it. It was fun. It was exciting to be in the hunt. We had our own little game show. Remember at ESPN, the 2 minute drill.
Right, I remember that.
Only a couple seasons. I liked where we were going with it, but they kept moving it. Like it would be on it. 3:30 at Sunday, and then it'll be on ESPN 2 at midnight. Right. Nobody knew when the hell it was on, so it never really got much traction or rating. But the people who watched it, thought it was coming off okay. So it's
you almost starred in Stunt the Schwab. You were almost the Schwab. You were like third in line to be the Schwab. Remember that show?
Yeah, I think he handled it better than I. I remember the Dream Job show.
Mm-hmm.
One episode, they wanted me on as one of the panelists.
Right.
But I was at a horse race. I think it was the Fountain of Youth or maybe it was the Florida Derby. It was something down in Florida. I needed to get back like that day, right? And the planes got canceled for some reason. I was like on the phone trying to hire a private plane, thinking ESPN thought that much of me. That's no, we don't want to spend that type of money. We don't need you that much. We'll go with that.
What is, you've covered everything. I think I know the answer to this. What's your favorite event to cover? And you're going to say Breeders' Cup.
Yeah, Breeders' Cup. I don't think you're going to ask. My favorite thing I ever did there would be working with Stevie Wonder. I got to do interviews with him. The first time had to do with the All-Star game that was in Detroit. He's from Saginaw, Michigan.
Right.
Like my one idol, if you will, that, like you're kind of awed in his presence. And I got him to say, I can't be at the All-Star game. I have a high ankle sprain. That was his joke. So, one take. In and out. It was pretty good. That was a thrill.
Stevie's really funny. He's underratedly funny. I've seen him on the show.
Like you saw him on the karaoke with Mr. Corden. There, yeah. Very funny. Yeah.
Yeah, he's good stuff. All right. So the Breeders' Cup is your favorite event to cover. I know you are always trying to get me in. I got to get out there.
I think it's even more fun not to cover, just to be there. Or worst case, at your home watching on TV. But it's 2 days of grade one racing, best horses around the world. Being there is cool because you got all the characters from every country. It's just fun. It's just like this each race matters. Everything's a big moment.
Right.
Going to Royal Ascot was pretty cool. We got to go there. The Queen of England had come to America on a tour. So I pitched my bosses, what if I now go to England, like reciprocity, I'm going to now go visit England. And somehow they fell for that pitch. And we just went and screwed around London for 4 days, went to Royal Ascot, went all over the place.
Right.
Those are the days.
Now the queen is single. Wow. Things have really changed. Hey, and speaking of things changing, for a long time, it seemed like you mentioned gambling on
this
a sports network.
A comprehensive
network.
And in-depth interview.
I didn't think it'd be this good. I didn't either. I don't know how it became this. But what about gambling on these networks, right? I don't think there's – you could barely now show a highlight without mentioning odds, right? Like Serena Williams gets upset in the first round of some crappy tournament. You're mentioning the odds.
Yeah.
Almost 20 seconds into the highlight, right?
Yeah, for those of us who've been there and lived it for a bunch of years – there was a time, and it wasn't even that long ago, you were like, banished from the building if you even suggested people bet on fantasy football. That's just for fun. No one bets, So now I guess they just saw the light of day and said, God, everybody's actually betting. And that's kind of what makes these games even more exciting than, I can watch a game without a bet and enjoy it. But a lot of people are betting and it creates a stronger interest, right? And
I was going to say, for you who doesn't love the draft as much as most football fans, the betting aspect, it just takes it to another level. I got to get you hooked here, Kenny. You have to get involved.
You're betting on the draft itself?
Of course. Yes. Okay. You could bet Mac Jones.
Will the linebacker go next at 4-1? That kind of thing.
Absolutely. There's all kinds of, in fact, do they have Seahawks picks up there, guys? I'm trying to think because now they even have it. Oh, they don't have Seahawks. Oh, they do. All right, Seahawks next pick, Kenny. What would you say, position-wise?
I like our receivers.
Uh-huh. You should.
Carson's come back. Our quarterback's fine. Mm-hmm. I'd say beef up the defense or O-line.
All right, so defensive lineman's plus 340, and O-lineman is the favored position at plus 125.
Okay, you're just having those big 300-pound guys that are fun, good guys. You can punch them in the arm. They won't punch you back.
Yeah.
Those are fun guys to have on your team.
Yeah, and if they had protected you better, you wouldn't have broken your leg and you would have been drafted before freaking Rich Campbell, whoever I mentioned there.
That bastard. Number what did he ever do? So, yeah, we were at Oregon my junior year. I was just starting to play a little bit more. And last play of the game at Oregon, you can see it on the internet. Guy sticks his helmet on my ankle. He was trying to, you know, they're up like 33-9, right?
Right.
And the kid's, you know, trying to grade out on film on Monday. So he sticks his helmet on my right ankle. I ended up with what's called a fracture dislocation.
Really?
And I ended up playing the next year. That means you broke your bone and tore all your ligaments. It feels like your leg has been torn off your body and it's underground. You're like, you know, scraping around the field trying to find your leg again. But when you're young, you come back like, what the hell? Next year I come back, I play, I'm second string again. Mm-hmm. But all these years later, I found this new device that's amazing. A guy in Gig Harbor, Washington, beautiful spot if you've never been there, named Ryan Blanc. And he made it for veterans who were coming back injured from war, right? And they needed something to stabilize their leg. Because I was down to like, am I going to even keep this thing? Like it hurt so bad getting up out of bed every day. You know, I probably had a little low-grade depression going on. But I got this brace and I'm able to, you know, I can play flag football. I can golf. I can take hikes with Gretchen. I can run sprints. Not very fast, but you know, I'm doing things that I couldn't do without it. So Gretchen and I started a foundation called Run Freely, R-U-N-F-R-E-E-L-Y, Run Freely. I'm not suggesting your listeners don't know the spelling of words.
Good for you.
Trying to clarify.
Yeah, they probably don't. It's always good to help out. Yeah.
Runfreely.org. And then if you want to donate and get another veteran moving without pain, you can consider that. I was hoping people who win a bunch of money on these dumb draft bets you're talking about or on the Derby.
I am going to donate win or lose to runfreely.org. And because you watch the videos attached to that site and it's you're crying your eyes out more than a Raiders fan after the first round.
I'll tell you what, for real, when I've had so many times where you get the letter back, they're they're so grateful and deserving of it. You know, it's not like I hate saying we give it to veterans, like they've earned it, right? They've done something that I didn't do. So it's just getting people back into life. And the stories are all over the place. One lady got a job because of it. Another lady was in a wheelchair and she gave it away to a charity that needed wheelchairs because she doesn't need it anymore.
That's
other
amazing.
People have gone back into the service. So, you know, one by one, we're making a little bit of impact.
Runfreely.org is where you should donate. Speaking of getting letters, our producer here, Babyface Joel Solomon. You have a story. Joel, jump on here right now and tell, remind Kenny what's going on.
All right. Like a lot of neurotic Jewish kids growing up in the 90s, I couldn't play sports, but I idolized ESPN anchors. And I didn't write letters to athletes. I wrote them to ESPN anchors. And Kenny Mayne, only one that responded to me.
Wow.
And not only that, wrote a letter back. I sent it to Jim. It says, Joel, call me here at the office and I'll be happy to answer any of your TV questions. Good luck at Hofstra.
Wow.
and he even checked where the phone number was, but never had the courage to actually bother Kenny. And then at Hofstra, I learned that they say some people have a face for radio. I was told I had a voice for print. I was defeated and unfortunately never called Kenny, but I still have the letter.
That's amazing.
You know what? I vaguely remember. I mean, I got a couple of letters, not that many. That phone number, I don't know if that still works. I haven't I left ESPN, not ESPN, but I left Bristol, moved back to Seattle. Then I started working out of L.A., then I came back and started working in Connecticut, and I don't really have an office. If I do, I don't know where it is. And if I have a phone number, I don't know what it is. So we got each other now, though.
Yeah, this is going to be an awkward way to ask you for a job, but you know, I'll call the number. We'll see if it's
that was Joel. That was your TV question. I mean, you have a chance now to ask that TV question that you bailed out so many years ago.
Oh man, my question for Kenny is catchphrases. Are your I guess your favorite of all time?
Oh my God! This is it? This is what you had to put him through for a catchphrase question?
Well, I would write them down in a notebook. I would just walk around trying to come up with catchphrases. And
all right.
I thought Kenny was like a big inspiration. He was sarcastic and dry. And then actually years later, I met him at one of the All-Star games and I asked for a picture. And Kenny said, well, make it look like I'm giving you advice. Let's at least make this interesting. And so he said, make it look like I'm telling you something really interesting.
All right. Try to answer all three of those. And I have a letter. Remind me of letter, because I have a letter story, also a picture story and an autograph story. This kid at an All-Star game hands me a ball to sign. I mean, they try to get the big guys and then they get desperate, like, oh shit, at least he's on TV. I'll take that autograph. And he hands me a ball. I swear to God, he's got Willie Mays, Henry Aaron, you might as well have Honus Wagner on there. And I'm like, dude, I'm not signing this. Like, I'm going to do you a favor. You'll thank me 20 years from now that I didn't fuck up this ball and sign it. Okay. Give me a scrap of paper. Your dad can throw it away on the way out.
That's great.
The letter, back when I was freelancing for ESPN for a bunch of years before they finally saw my skills. So it took like 3-4 years. Griffey would hit three homers. Hey, go interview Griffey tomorrow. Or Gary Payton did this or that. Right. So I was kind of like their Seattle correspondent, but I wasn't full time. They would pay me $250 and I would get that whether I worked 1 minute or 12 hours. It didn't matter. It was just flat 250. You use your time how you want. Right.
Nice.
So I was getting frustrated that they weren't like giving me the chance to be full time, whether a reporter or come back east. And I sent them this letter to John Walsh. He was like the Oracle, you know?
Sure.
And I said, dear John, I'm trying to sort out my future. Can you please check the appropriate box? And the first one said, stand by the mailbox, contract's on the way. Second one said, keep up the freelance work. Third one said, we'll hire you about the time ESPN 5 hits the air. And at the time, they had ESPN 2, right? So they literally checked the middle box, keep up the good work, sent it back. But I got hired like 2 months later. So
that's great.
That's
wow.
What put me over the top.
People, let alone network executives, don't like filling out surveys. So you got lucky then with the check box thing.
Nice. Enough. Well, I always tell people, because everyone asks this type of, how do you distinguish yourself? I said, do something to distinguish yourself, whatever right. that is. Do something a little, don't put on a show and be something you're not, but take your best individualism and display it, make them notice you. So if you spend $22, you can send an overnight letter to people, right? And everybody opens overnight letters. They're not going
right. to
like, this looks important. Oh, it's that kid from Hofstra, so you never know. I'd say one of my favorite, my late old friend, you guys probably know his name, Warren Thomas, old comedian.
Yeah, yeah.
He hung around Jimmy's show now and then. So he had done this bit about when you got your student loan in college, like, I am king of the dorms. Let there be Cheetos for all my men, And I adapted that to the Grand Slam thing. Let there be a clubhouse feast. Bring me the finest meats and cheeses. But that one takes so much energy. Sometimes at 1:30 in the morning. Yeah. I just don't have that for Rocky's Marlins game. I like with the Hispanic players, la pelota no está aquí. The ball is not here.
Right.
But I remember being at this dinner and we had all these international correspondents. And I asked one of the Spanish speaking ones, I said, hey, am I saying home run correctly? Because I've been saying cuadrangular. And he said, that's good. But what you should say is home run.
That's that's a great one for you.
Yeah.
But sometimes it's just weird shit. Like I watched a movie, it was a silent movie, a Turner classic, and the subtitle said, I am Golthar the Terrible. What have I to fear from Rome? That's perfect. That's like, what a powerful right. thing. No. Also, Jake Johansson, the comedian who I met way back when, I try to give him credit when I do it because I don't want to think, have him think I'm taking it. Yeah. But he did this bit about walking into a bank with a rubber band, because everybody flinches, right? You could rob a bank with a rubber band. And I think his big punchline was, my power is beyond your understanding, just to be crazy in front of people, right? So that's a great one, right? On a big home run.
I love that. Yeah. Just kind of lift like famous or not really even famous lines, but inspiring lines. That's fun.
I love for strikeouts, Dana Carvey's Chopping Broccoli, like the guy's swinging and can't.
Yeah.
Can't hit.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I have made up many of my own as well. I'm just giving you the ones that stood out that way. For Griffey, it was always, I am amused by the simplicity of this game. Because that just fit him so well. Maybe Mike Trout, same kind of thing.
There you go, Joel. I mean, 25 years later, but he gave you a couple dozen catchphrases, for God's sake. You have to be happy.
NBA players, a putback, lay in, or dunk, just say medicinal.
Medicinal? That's fun. Yeah.
That was worth the wait. Appreciate it. And sure. Yeah.
Good luck at Hofstra.
He never graduated. He's going to have to go back.
I'm going to law school. Time.
Get your education.
Kenny, you let's talk Kentucky Derby. Essential Quality is the favorite.
What? Huh?
We can't do this?
Oh, yeah. Sure,
Essential Quality is a favorite at 2-1 right now. I don't know if he's your favorite. He's a gray horse. I don't want to sound racist here, but gray horses, I think only 7 have hit the winner's circle. You have a problem with gray horses?
It's an old adage about bet the lone gray. Like there's something that spooks the other horses or whatever. Yeah. I don't know if it is the only gray. Oh, wait a minute. We're taping this at what time is it? It's 9:28 Pacific on Friday.
Okay.
So when people see this, I don't know if the race will have run or not run. Past the Champagne is going to win the Oaks. Past the Champagne, number 5, I believe it is.
I'm writing it down.
I think the horse is going like 10, 12, 15 to 1.
Also, not a bad catchphrase for a double, ground rule double or something. Pretty good. You could work that in. All right. So that's Pass the Champagne. That's Friday afternoon.
Yep.
But as far as Derby goes, Derby, have you analyzed this?
Rock Your World, number 15.
Okay.
Rock Your World. So I raced 3 times, and the first 2 were on turf, on grass, right? And then they moved it over. John Sadler's the trainer, moves it over to dirt for the first time. At 1 1/8 in the Santa Anita Derby and wins end to end, right? Gate to wire. It hadn't run that way in the previous races. It was close, but didn't necessarily have to have the lead. I just think it has a good shot, and it's going to be, I think it's going to be 5 or 6 to 1. I think a lot of the money is going to go to Essential Quality, who's the 14, who's just inside of that horse. It's 5 for 5. Hard to knock, what that horse has done. But I like the way Rock Your World's coming into form. And I'm going to give it a good shot. My advice, I told Aaron Rodgers to bet $1 million to show. I don't know if he bets that type of money. It was just my idea. So
why not?
With 20 horses in the race, some people think you're soft picking a show bet. Like I'll put him on top as well. But I think your heavier bet, try to secure a win. Winning is better than losing. Okay. Even if you don't win quite as much as taking the big stab. So the horse is going to pay $4 or $5 to show. 450, 480, $5.
So you think it'll be about 2.5-1 the show? Huh?
Yeah. What's all wrong right. with a sure thing? Maybe it can't hold on. Maybe it can't get 1.25 miles all the way.
All right.
Another horse I like underneath is called Known Agenda, who's like 4th choice, maybe. Winner of the Florida Derby. I had that race at 5 to 1.
Okay.
He's a one horse.
That's the one. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I like it underneath. And now I'm forgetting, but I appreciate you guys giving me the chance to glance back at my racing form, which I'm scrolling through.
It's underneath Joel's letter somewhere, I think. But keep looking.
Bourbonic.
Ooh. Oh.
Put it underneath. That horse is coming on. Todd Pletcher knows what he's doing. So in that case, you got the 1 and the 20, both trained by Pletcher. He seems to have good horses this time of year. But my single horse, you're only going to bet 1 bet, is number 15. You can bet an exact of 15 all 15. That'll cost you $19 twice. That's $38. Or you can, bump it up if your unit's more than $1.
There you go.
Jump on it to show.
All right. Rock Your World. Go ahead, Harry. I know you're bursting out. You want to give Kenny your advice. Did you take a ticket from Kenny in Vegas once?
No.
Did you say?
Kenny, back when you had your book signed, when you had your book out and you were at the Red Rock Casino, I was your right-hand man. I was your right-hand man that day, standing next to you while you were signing.
What does that mean, his right-hand man? What did you do?
Well, I mean, I was just in line, making sure everything's in order. People are in line, signing Kenny's, wishing him congratulations on his book and everything. And I was right there that day at Red Rock.
I Kenny. Believe Sam King, who I referenced earlier, came out and was part of that. I think he... Yeah. Came out for the show.
Now Kenny, I have a try. We know try box 4 horses cost $24 for a dollar. I like your Known Agenda. What do you think though of my try here? I got the 1, 8, 9, and 14. Obviously with Essential Quality, Luis Saez, the jockey on there. Redemption for him possibly as he was disqualified when he was on maximum security last year.
Just tell him you like it, Kenny. It's fine. You don't have to
throw in the Dynasty Spirit, Hot Rod Charlie, but you left out Rock Your World.
I left out Rock Your World. I'll throw them in there. I'll spend $60.
Yeah, make it five and spread it out to Rock Your World. And you're kind of hoping Essential Quality doesn't run well, because then, you know, you got a better deal. What I typically do, and I probably will still do it, I like to pick two horses, right? No matter the field, whether it's 10 horses, 15 horses, whatever it is. So let's say it's the one and the two.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not, well, in this case, let's say it's the one and the 15, because those are my key two. Mm-hmm. You go one and 15 over one and 15 over all, one and 15 over all over one and 15, all over one and 15 and one and 15. So if your two horses are first, second, or third, any order, you're hoping you get that 90-1 dork showing up on top, really. You know, you get
I feel like a jerk. I never understand what you're saying when you say it, and I should.
I understand it, Kenny. I'm saying it's
lower.
No, I know. But
two horses.
Yeah.
Both of those two horses must be in the top three. You don't care if they win second, third.
Yeah.
And you really hope the all button, where you're buying all the rest of the field, you hope it's some character showing up at, you know, 80-1.
Right.
That will maximize your profit, right? Now, if the stupid 14 shows up as your third horse, now you've wasted money, right?
Right.
Because you're going to have three. Mm-hmm. So you are relying on a little bit of luck there.
All right. I think I get it. Rock Your World. Kenny is saying that's the 15 horse. I think it'll pay about 5-1. And that's what we're going with. And then we're going over, and we're going over, under, all, and then we're going all over, under. Something like that.
That's not quite what I said.
No? All right. I have to listen better. My listening skills aren't that great.
If you refer back to that letter I wrote to Hofstra back in the day, I think there are clues about what to do.
I need to write you a letter. I'll spend $22 on it. That's a great idea, the certified that they have to open. You think it's something important. Runfreely.org. You also have, what's the other charity? Wait, you had something else here, didn't you?
No, I'm selling card baseball, if you want to hype that. That's just
I love that. I bought one of those. It's a fun game, right?
It is. Same one. Why don't people buy more? I wanted to sell 10 million of those and just retire. Like, well, I don't get it. It's ridiculous.
You know, damn it. That's it. Maybe we could root for another pandemic, because I think this is a lot of really good, a fun game to pass time.
Yeah. Well, it's good inside and outside of a pandemic. I would argue you don't need a pandemic to enjoy the game.
All right. I think you do need it.
You probably enjoy it more because there isn't a fucking pandemic. I'd be happier in general because there's no pandemic.
Kenny, thank you for coming. You're on ESPN, right? Still a worldwide leader.
Friday night, we'll be doing draft coverage, baseball highlights. Yelling.
Hey, you know, Trey Wingo came over to us. Stuff, yeah. Trey Wingo's a Fox guy now.
He is?
Yeah. Yeah, he is. He came over. I passed him. I nodded. We nodded to each other. You know, everyone's wearing a mask, but we nodded to each other.
Talking about his little football project. I didn't know that was technically.
His little football project. He did a whole draft special yesterday. Yeah, with Jeff Schwartz and Michael Vick and Eli Manning. Yeah,
I might have fallen asleep on that, and I just played golf with him. 10 days ago, he didn't tell me he was doing that, but good for him.
Well, I think you guys need to give a heads up here. I just get fatter as I get older, but everyone that grays and isn't, hasn't no one seen in a while, whatever. You're on every night, whatever. But I saw Trey Wingo, and I didn't know it was him because he went completely gray. He needs to give like a little warning, I think. But
you should buy that Walt Frazier product?
Some kind of Grecian formula or something.
Is Shaq in? I want Shaq's commercial agent. He's in every. There's not a thing he doesn't sell. I love him.
Good. Amazing.
He's great at what he does.
Yeah, but you lose out to Meredith Vieira and Shaq with these commercials. It's very weird. Like it could go either way with you. I love it. Well, I'm going to give you a pass key, and you're going to get on the Fox lot and say hi to Trey Wingo, and we're gonna have a lunch at Moe's, and that'll be fun.
We'll consider that.
Kenny, thanks so much. runfreely.org. I got that right. And ESPN, check him out tonight.
Wait, spell Run Freely for the
viewers. Oh my God. It's runfreely.org, and 15 above the lower and on the over under. You got the horses.
No. 1 and 15 over 1 and 15 over all. And then.
All right. You know, brother Bri is nodding. I think he understands. I'll talk to him about it.
I'll help you out.
Thanks so much for coming on, Kenny.
Wait, I have another story.
Oh, let's hear it.
Is there really a time on
this? No, there's no time limit. There's absolutely none.
Who watches this?
That's not a story. That's your story? Who watches this?
No. This football was stolen by Doug Baldwin from the Seahawks, given to my daughter, Annie, who then I stole from. Guy didn't want it on her. It's like the most broken in perfect football I've ever seen.
Really?
Kept it all. We went to the Seahawks 49ers game at what's called Levi. This is like Thanksgiving 5 years ago, six, whatever it was. Brought my daughters with me. We were going to do a fun weekend for Thanksgiving down that way. Went to our favorite place in Chinatown, House of Nanking.
Yes, I love House of Nanking. House of Nanking has the that's what Jimmy, my cousin Jimmy, stole the Crank Yankers font and look from, the House of Nanking sign. It's all colorful and everything. It's nothing like the restaurant itself. What do you expect?
Does he credit House of Nanking often?
No. But they do okay on their own. They rush you in and out of there, right? That's like the soup Nazi for
Chinese. My favorite thing is the menu's in Chinese, and you can't read it if you didn't take Chinese in high school.
Yeah.
And I took Spanish. You're just like, I like shrimp, I like hot, and the guy comes back and it's like amazing food every time.
The waiter's not even looking at you. He's just writing stuff down. It's like, whatever, I'm going to bring you whatever I think you deserve, and you have 8 minutes to eat it. It's a great place, House of Nanking. So there's runfriendly.org and House of Nanking.
Yeah, what street is that on?
I'm not even sure.
It's on the lower end of Chinatown, towards downtown.
It's down a crazy hill.
That's all right, go there often, everybody.
Good times. Thanks, Kenny. I appreciate it.
Kenny, thanks.
The finish was better, but this wasn't terrible. Thanks for watching. Whoever watches, wherever the hell this plays.
Write Kenny a letter. He's dying for your letters.
All right. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Kenny. He's the best.
Watch your world.
He's so much fun. All right. There you go. All right, Brian, you're going to have to explain that to me. 1:15 over, and Harry, you know this too probably, right?
Yeah, Harry would know even more.
How much am I going to lose on that?
I think I got it.
Boy, well, 20 horses, though.
I'm just glad he didn't remember who the hell Harry was. That was great.
I didn't expect him to.
Yeah, I was your right-hand man. I made sure everyone said congratulations to you on your book. What? It's not like I brought you waters. Remember I brought you lunch. You like the salad dressing on the side. No, I made sure everyone congratulated you. All right, let's do Shark Tank. You guys, I mean, you've been incredible. 14 out of your last 15 on extrapoints.com. Shark Tank is a little more pressure, right? You're under the interrogation lights here. Brother Bry, start us off. What's your pick?
Yeah, I got the last one wrong because I had ATN over. So that was a loser. I think Parley Kid was the only one who won, I think, for this past one. But look, hasn't been smooth sailing for Long Island UFC fighters, you know, especially with Weidman last time. But I'm going to go, Parley Kid was originally thinking this way, but I'm going to go Dominic Reyes plus 110 over Jiří Procházka. This fight should be amazing. Should be a lot of fun. Procházka is so much fun to watch. The guy hasn't lost in a long time. But his last performance, too, against Ozdemir, he was great. But he's, I went back and watched some of his fights. Definitely a little wild, leaves himself open to be hit. Ozdemir did hurt him in their last fight and hurt him early in the first round. If you look at him, too, he's just not used to long fights. He hasn't fought a full three rounds in, I think, 7 years. So I think Reyes will kind of be smart with this one. He'll pick his spots. And either kind of a late finish or decision victory for Reyes, but I like him at plus 110.
Interesting. Okay, Parlay Kid, you're going UFC also.
Yeah, I'm going to go UFC, Sal. I had a nice Mac Jones over 3.5 on our last Sharp Tank, plus 205, so that was really nice. We've been great. It's been nice.
Joel writes us a letter. I mean, we didn't pull Kenny Maynard right back, but Joel gave us a nice note, a little pep talk.
It meant a lot. Made my night last night.
You weren't supposed to be on it, so.
I guess I wasn't supposed to be on it. He didn't like the way I told him to shut up.
Joel has sent us that before. I think he
has? You know, I was.
Oh, yeah. I think he just feels bad for Harry and things that with what his it girlfriend is, and stuff like that.
One other time I did, and because
or loves
I
me.
Tell you were beating these guys up, and they deserved it. But when they take a lot of heat on Twitter, I don't know if you're aware of that.
So I am. Right,
I have to give my respect.
I know, but I'm also aware that you could jinx something like that. I just know it, and I hope you didn't do that. But we'll know from this these Shark Tank picks.
Yeah. Well, look, we had one of our listeners, Charlie Conway, follows us on Twitter. He's credited us, maybe even myself. Oh, I think all of us for winning lots of money lately. He made a donation to lupus.org.
Nice.
And basically in our name for winning. So thank you, Charlie.
Good job by you, Charlie. Good job. Brant Tobler, our friend, has won money off of you guys. Yeah, 14 out of 15.
Paid his rent this month, basically.
You should be making money out of 14 out of 15. All right, Parlay Kid, who
absolutely.
You
got? So I'm going to stick with UFC. At first, I was thinking Reyes, too. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to go with Giga Chikadze.
Oh, it's so sad because he spent a good minute going over the pronunciation before the podcast.
Chikadze.
All right.
I believe I'm saying that right. As you guys know, he's been very good. He's 12-2 in UFC. He's fighting Cub Swanson, who is a grizzled veteran. But again, it's a guy maybe on his way out like Swanson, who's good enough to go the distance against an up-and-comer in Chikadze. And Chikadze by decision, I believe, is plus 180. So that's my Shark Tank bet. I think he wins. He's got a 4-inch reach advantage over Swanson. He's a lot taller. Swanson does struggle against taller fighters in his career. And he'll be game, Swanson. But Chikadze he'll get it done. So plus 180 to win by decision.
All right, Harry, you're going to have to really woo me because, full disclosure, I have both Reyes and Chikadze on my Fox Bet Live parlay today. So, I'm probably not going to have what you're about to give us.
Nice, Sal, nice.
Well, listen, like you mentioned, we've all been red hot, and I've been really good at baseball. I'm going to go baseball tonight. I'm going to go Giants Padres under 7.5 at minus 120. Yeah, Logan Webb going up against Yu Darvish. San Francisco's bad team batting average, just 227. San Diego's team batting average is 236. These two teams are number one and number two in Major League Baseball and ERA. Opponent's batting average, 207 for San Fran's and 206 for San Diego. Logan Webb's last start, he went 7 innings, gave up 3 hits, 0 runs in a win against Miami. And Darvish, last 4 starts, he's gone at least 6 innings, has given up just 1 run in all 4. Under 7.5, San Francisco, San Diego. And when you win that, you go to the Derby on Saturday and do a 50-cent try box if you include Kenny Mayne's number 15 horse. 1, 8, 9, 14, 15. 50-cent try box costs you $30 and you can hit big time.
All right. You know what? Let's make this a party. I'm going to go with you, Harry. Under 7.5, San Francisco, San Diego. That's tonight. That's Friday night, right? Minus 120.
And then let it roll on Saturday.
I don't know about that. Well, one thing at a time. Let's win the Friday game. Brother Brian, Pauly Kid, Ray, Ruiz fights Saturday, right? And he's in good shape. He lost like 55 pounds or something.
What?
Yeah, he's
fighting. He looks good. And he's a gigantic favorite over Areola, right?
Well, Areola, you know, people thought Areola was going to be great about 12 years ago, you know?
Right.
So, like, he's still been... You know, he's still been around fighting, but yeah, I'm not shocked at all by him being a giant favorite as he should be.
I have a dumb parlay with Ruiz by KO, which I think is minus 400, with the Avs, and what's my third team tonight, Harry?
Oh, nice. I didn't see it yet. The Avs. All right.
Who is it?
South Dakota State.
Oh, South Dakota State. Yes. Yeah, they're going to win, right, Bri? That pays minus 111. I like that. Ruiz by KO. The Avs tonight, even though they play, they run it back tomorrow. And South Dakota State pays minus 111. All right. And you guys, it's going to be a good weekend. More draft watching, right? Parlay Kid, you're at the Chalk Talker?
At the Chalk Talker, yes. I will be watching the draft tonight. Had a nice Islanders over Rangers win last night. Kind of ending any Ranger hopes of maybe making the playoffs, I think.
Yeah, that's so, that.
Yeah, that's always a good thing. And that was my extra point play last night, plus 104 over the Rangers, Harry.
Did they win that game 3-0? Yeah. That was nice.
4-0.
4-0. And that went 4.
4-0. And I'm the Avs are my pick, minus 1.5 tonight on extra points, too.
There you go. So, all right.
I like
that.
That's
it. Sorry, Eddie Spaghetti. Your season's over. I hope you're enjoying Yosemite.
It's over.
Poor Rangers. Poor Rangers.
That's it.
Hope he's enjoying. Hope Eddie's enjoying the mountains.
I think he is. He had a text or he had a tweet. He said he's getting he got emotional at the. Who gets emotional over scenery? I'm not sure. We may have to have a talk with him.
I'm glad he's enjoying himself.
Of course.
Good for him.
Days off. Brother Bri, you're at the Brother Bri.
Yeah, I'm at the Brother Bri. I'm looking forward to the Raiders botching their picks. My guest tonight, I know their next pick, I think I'm going to say plus 210 at D lineman. It seems like we're going to reach for some D tackle that sucks in the second round. So I'll say that at plus 210.
And Harry, you're at AAO Harry, right?
Yeah. And with the Giants next pick, they're favored to take a defensive lineman at minus 125, but I'd really rather they go offensive line at plus 125 for the next pick to help out Daniel Jones a little bit. 9-2 in my last, like I said, last 11 on extra points. And tonight I've got a three-team parlay again. I'm on board with the parlay kid with the Avalanche. I got the Lakers and on the money line as well. And Darren, don't let your Yankees screw me. No way they lose to the Tigers.
But, I meant to put Cole that in on a the
hill
somewhere.
With Cole on the hill and the Tigers batting 208 right. as a team.
I have no problem with Harry doing this. But, Brian, didn't Harry always would slam anybody who took huge money line favorites and put
once
them in a parlay? So Ben Kelly has every right to go after Harry for this.
You're allowed to do it once in a while.
Well, you've been taking a lot of minus 180s and these crazy money line parlays, which is great.
3 days ago?
It's great. They're winning. I don't care. But
what about 3 days ago?
What about 3 days ago?
My plus 135 with the Blues.
That was the only one. But but yeah, your strategy has changed over time.
Yeah, you used to be here and there.
You used to be all underdog all the time. I do think like as you start betting more and more and more and more, like you start going to these heavy favorite parlays. I do think.
Knowing Sal for 30 years, that'll happen to you.
That's right. I finally worn off.
And then plenty of betting. Yeah, plenty of horse betting tomorrow. I'm going to be at a bar with a couple buddies in front and firing away at Churchill all day long.
Okay. Yeah. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. We get letters. I'm going to read one. Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com. Subject, Australian listener. Good day, legends. Long time listener, first time emailer. Australian listener here. Cannot wait for Harry's next installment of Australian betting. His last pick was horrendous, backing against the league's best team on their home deck. Keep up the good work, and please find the footage of his only interception against Henninger High School. Cannot believe it until I see the footage. Haru, regards, Mitch Linkvist. There you go. All right, Mitch.
Love
Mitch.
It.
Mitch,
love
man.
It.
Listen, hey, listen, for what it's worth, the New Zealand Warriors made a heck of a comeback. They were down 4. I was getting plus 16.5. It was 42-10. They made it interesting at 42-20. So at least
I'm sure he was paying attention even more than you. Another one at Cousin Sal against all odds at gmail.com from Alan Moore, longtime listener, first time emailer, listening to Harry give yet another pick based on proximity to Phoenix rather than anything to do with the team's ability. A potential new nickname hit me, Harryzona. How the hell would you not think of that? We never thought of Arizona.
Credit
where it's due. He does sometimes pick teams from outside of the Phoenix metro area. Syracuse, I believe, is not in the Southwest. Much love from the UK. All our listeners are overseas here. Al, thanks, love Al. It. And thanks so for
there is a Syracuse, Utah, by the way.
All right. Oh, there is. Interesting.
Yeah.
Joel has a question for you with all these wins. What were you saying, Joel?
I think, Harry, it's finally time to buy a new pair of headphones. With all this money, I think.
Sal says, don't jinx things, Joel.
Oh, yeah, we might. Hold on, Jim. Jim has a picture of you from your football playing days. Let's see. Oh wow, that's cute. All right, we may have to put that up on the site. Jim, the eyes are low.
I was number 43 by the way.
That's good. Jim, you were like 43-year-old junior in high school. That makes sense. Jim, the eyes are one. The eyes were terrifying in that picture, but the eyes are one, right?
Yep. At Jim Cunningham, the eyes are one.
All right. And that'll do it for another episode of Against the Odds. For the degenerate trifecta, Jim Cunningham, the great Kenny Mayne, I'm Sal, saying so long and happy handicapping.